You know, years ago, Doctor, we all speculated on just how many planets there could be just out there in the universe. And of course, before Kepler and before they started studying other planets, you know, people would speculate. But a lot of us thought, you know what, this universe is the same. It's got the same complexity that there could be. If there are billions of stars, there could also be billions of planets out there. And, you know, I guess science is beginning to find that that's absolutely the case. It's got to be exciting for scientists like you.
Indeed. It's great to be living through that period of time when we finally can discover this planet. And indeed, I would say a few of us doubted that the planets are out there. But there is two things about discovering them now. One of them is just the sheer satisfaction that, yes, we have now evidence that the planets are common and we can find them. But more importantly, George, it's important to discover them because then you can actually study them. You know where they are, and you can train your big telescopes towards some of the more interesting ones and find out what they are and what the conditions on their surfaces are. And it's very exciting because it already has taught us that the sheer variety and richness of new worlds out there is amazing.
It sure is. How are they finding these kinds of planets, Doctor?
Well, we've figured out several different ways to find planets. The first one, which worked pretty well, and for the first time bore fruit about a dozen years ago, is what we call the Doppler shift wobble, or the stellar wobble.
Mm-hmm.
Doppler shift is this effect from physics, which is known since the time of the 19th century physicist Doppler, and it's named after him. And it applies to any wave phenomenon, including sound waves. So we experience it when we have cars passing by in the change of the pitch of the sound. But it also applies to light, and we can use it to observe very carefully distant stars. And in some cases, we notice that they move slowly towards us, then away from us, then again towards us. Turns out that this is due to the gravitational pull of an unseen planet, a planet which is otherwise not visible to our telescopes. This is how the first exoplanets, or planets orbiting other stars, were discovered with this wobbling method, or wobble method. Nowadays, especially with the new space telescope, the Kepler telescope, by NASA, we're using a new technique, which we call the transit method.
Okay, what is that?
Transits are little eclipses that occur when a planet passes in front of its parent star. So those eclipses are not true eclipses, the way the moon covers the entire face of the sun. It's really tiny ones, and they're called transits. They dim the light of the star just a little bit by a percent or less than a percent, but certainly enough for us to detect it. And when you see a star dimming regularly, once every year or once every month, you know that maybe there is a planet that is orbiting it. So that's how Kepler discovers its planets, and that has been the most successful method in the past few years.
With this new theory that there might be billions of Earth-like planets out there, can we assume, Doctor, that most star systems probably have planets with them?
Yes, we are coming close to confirming that assumption. In fact, we'll do better than simply assuming that. The ultimate goal of the NASA Kepler mission is to give science a pretty precise number of that fraction of planets around other stars. And now it seems that the fraction will be very high. But the actual number will come out in a couple of years from now.
And if a planet happens to possess water a temperature relatively close to what we have here on planet Earth, give or take. What are the odds, in your opinion? What are the odds of some kind of life developing on that planet?
Well, George, that's the million-dollar question, isn't
it?
Sure. That is the big question. And, you know, it's exciting in science when one of those ancient big questions can be tackled, maybe not completely, but at least partially by the methods of science. You can learn something new. That's what we are trying to do now, because with the discovery of such planets coming from Kepler and other searches here from the ground, we are coming to the point where we have to ask that question, because now we can study those planets and say, okay, what we see there is something which is due to volcanoes, maybe to an atmosphere similar to a planet like Venus or Mars, but what about those other planets where maybe we see signatures of biology there? Mm-hmm. We have to figure out what to do about this. How often does what happened here on Earth occur on other planets? And part of it is, if it's something which happens often, then hopefully we'll know very soon, in the next 20 years or so. If it doesn't happen that often, how do we maximize our chances to discover it? And so that means we have to learn something more about the nature of life here on Earth.
It's going to be exciting times. Can we find out how old these other planetary systems are? You know, here we are 4.5 billion years old. Do we know the age of some of these other planets we're beginning to discover?
As a matter of fact, we do. This is a really interesting story. We can't do it directly the way we do it here on Earth. Here on Earth, the way we know the age of the Earth is by studying rocks. Geologists have discovered on a few locations around the globe very old ancient rocks, which we can measure with the methods of physics and determine their precise ages, going back 4 billion years and even older, 4.5. Now, when you have a planet which is that far away, you only see the light coming from it, there is no chance you will do anything of that sort. But it turns out we have a way to figure it out, and it has to do with the age of the star. So as it happens, we don't know of any other way to form planets but together with the formation of their parent star. And that means that the age of the star is equal to the age of its planet. And we have figured out in the last 20 years how to measure the ages of stars with something which we call stellar seismology, very similar to astroseismology when there are earthquakes, to seismology here on Earth when there are earthquakes. We see the waves passing through the Earth and we can measure them on the surface. Well, it turns out we can measure such waves on the surfaces of stars. We've been doing that now for 30 years on the surface of our own star, the Sun. And it gives you a measure of how long that star has been in existence. And we know that the Sun is exactly as old as the oldest rocks that we find in the solar system, so everything matches pretty well. And that's how, especially with Kepler, we've been able to measure the ages of a few of those stars that we also know have planets. We discovered their planets. So by that technology, we've been able to actually tell how old the planets are, which is amazing.